This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Resource Center. It's Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. On 6 November 2012, a BI-54 flight from Melbourne landed in Brunei International Airport at the controls to Sharifa Zarina Suryani Said Hashim. The successful completion of this flight marked the final stage in the command training process for then-senior First Officer Sharifa Zarina. She then became the first female airline captain in both Brunei and Southeast Asia. On December 12, 2013, recorded the first Royal Brunei Airlines flight operated by an all-female crew at the flight deck. And that was Captain Sharifa Zarina together with her team. On February 23rd this year, Royal Brunei scored another first with the first ever all-female flight deck crew operating a plane from Brunei to Jeddah in Saudi Arabia. Such a pleasure to be speaking to you, Captain Sharifa. How did you discover your love for flying?
Well, this happened many, many years ago. And I remember because it was a very memorable experience. I was 9 years old and I happened to be on a flight. I believe it could have been from Singapore back home to Brunei. But at that time, children were still allowed to, well, we were sort of invited into the flight deck during the flight. But obviously things have changed. But anyway, back then, I was invited to come and sit for a landing into Brunei. And I remember the whole experience, you know, I had the cabin crew sort of buckling me up in the seat. And I was just looking around at this flight deck thinking, you know, looking at all the buttons and all the controls and these two pilots, male pilots sitting in front of me. And I just fell in love with the whole experience, you know, the landing into Brunei. You know, it was that day that I decided one day I'm going to fly.
Right. So, and then, of course, after that, you went on that journey. How did it then continue for you after you were sent to UK for intensive flight training at Cab Air Flying School in Cranfield? What happened then?
It wasn't just the flying training, which was intensive. The whole process after that, you know, it was a very steep learning curve. And I think it was very much timing at the same time, because what happens to Royal Brunei cadets during my time, things may have changed, but during my time, after we completed our training, we were sent to another airline overseas, secondment. So we would fly with them for about 18 months. So as soon as I got my license in November of 2004, I was barely home. I was probably home for a week or 2 weeks, and I was immediately sent to Scotland where we had this induction training because I was seconded in Scotland to this airline called Loganair. So from then on, you know, it was just go, go, go. There was no stopping. I didn't have, you know, time off in Brunei. It was constant full on. So my first real commercial airline was Loganair in Scotland, and we were flying the Highlands and Islands of Scotland. And that was really a lot of fun, you know, and it was an experience that I will never forget. So 18 months with them, and then 2006, I was brought back to Brunei to fly with Royal Brunei Airlines, and my first aircraft was a Boeing 767. So from then on, that's when my career with Royal Brunei started.
Right. You know, even in the UK back then, right, did you see a good mix of males and females, or is it still very male dominant?
Sad to say, it is still male dominated, but there were a few females during my time in the UK. You know, we had one batch may have had maybe 2 to 3 female pilots or female cadets, really. So there wasn't many, but they were there. But there were still, the majority of them were male.
Why do you think women don't look into this as a career path?
Well, I thought about it, and I'm sure, you know, all females in this aviation industry sort of think, why do we not see that many females? I mean, they are there, and at the moment, you know, it's very encouraging that we see that the numbers are going up, maybe slowly, but, you know, we're progressing in the right direction. But honestly, in my personal opinion, I think there's still this mental restraint, you know, for females all around the world, perhaps, you know, that they don't really know that this possibility exists, you know, because it's so male-dominated.
Right.
And there's this lack of knowledge that there are females in the industry, which obviously goes also the fact that there's a lack of role models.
Mm.
You know, I mean, growing up, what do you know? Females are nurses, or, you know, you see all these sort of stereotypical female careers. And it's not really, being a pilot or being in the aviation industry as a whole is not really seen for the female. However, it exists. The possibility is there. We can do it, you know, and all these accomplished female pilots around the world should take that opportunity to say, you know, hey, you know, we're here in the aviation industry, we're females, you can do it too. We've done it, you can do it too.
Is it also sometimes the women holding themselves back thinking, you know, it's too much time away? I mean, do you have these conversations with people who think that that's the case?
It could be, perhaps, again, you know, commercial flying, it's not just about being away from home. You could perhaps join airlines where you're home every single night. You know, you just go away, like a 9-to-5 job, but instead of being in an office, you're flying. So that is a possibility. For myself, I'm on the long-haul fleet, so I am away from home most of the time. But sometimes, you know, you think about it, you miss home, you do miss home. But it's a sacrifice that I'm willing to take. My family and myself, you know, we are willing to accept this sacrifice because I'm doing something that I really love. I'm very passionate about.
So what is RBA doing now to train more female pilots?
We are actively recruiting. I can't go into specifics in terms of, you know, the hiring side because that's obviously not my department. Mm-hmm. I know we do actively recruit. You know, every year we have adverts out to say that, you know, cadet program is open for applicants and it's open to both male and female.
Right. So is there a thrust now for more females, or is the selection at the end of the day still based on meritocracy?
Well, I'm sure we as an airline would love to see more females coming to apply, and we would love to see more female pilots for the aviation industry as a whole. But I won't say that, you know, airlines are going, oh, you know, we want to employ more females. You know, that thrust isn't really there because it's equal opportunities for both. And if you have the ability and that passion to want to become a pilot, then I truly believe that you will have an opportunity to join the cadet program with Royal Brunei.
All right. I'm here with Captain Sharifah Zarina Suriana Said Hashim from Royal Brunei Airlines. We'll continue our conversation with her after this in Resource Centre, BFM 89.9. This is Resource Centre and it's Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with Captain Sharifah Zarina Suriani Said Hashim, who is the first female airline captain in both Brunei and Southeast Asia. You know, you've had many, scored many firsts, the first female airline captain, Brunei, Southeast Asia, first all female crew. Were you aware that you were going to achieve so many records for yourself and Brunei going to this job?
Well, Frida, I must correct you there. I must stress that I wasn't the first female captain for an airline in Southeast Asia. It was a national airline.
Okay.
Yeah, because we have plenty, you know, with other airlines like Silk Air has female captains, you know, Tiger, Seagull Pacific, that sort of thing. But we, as a national airline, you know, you talk about Malaysian Airlines, Singapore Airlines.
Right, national airline.
Flag carrier, yeah. So I was the first. It's not fair to these female captains who, you know, were already accomplished before me. But yes, for a national airline.
Right. So, yeah, were you aware that you were going to achieve so many records, though?
Absolutely not. You know, that wasn't the intention at all. You know, I came into this just wanting to be a pilot. And I had previous pioneers before me, you know, who paved the way for my journey. So I really, it wasn't any intention to make these, you know, records and firsts for Royal Brunei. It just so happened in 2012, obviously, when I was selected for command course, it became a possibility, you know, oh, hang on a minute, I could actually be the first female pilot for a national carrier. Yes, I was on the way to becoming the first female captain, beg your pardon, female captain for Royal Brunei, but that possibility for a national carrier, it was a proud moment, you know. And then obviously because I was the first female captain for Royal Brunei, anytime, you know, I flew with a female, it would have been a first for the airline.
Right. So who are your role models?
At the moment, in terms of pilot, I don't actually have any because, you see, again, there's that lack of knowledge. Mm. I mean, obviously the only one I can remember is Amelia Earhart.
Yeah.
And that was so many years ago, you know. So I think things like, you know, these achievements that women pilots around the world have, If you remember this year for International Women's Day when Air India had that all-female flight crew, I think it was the longest flight that they were operating, but it was all-female. You know, it's avenues like this which accomplished female pilots around the world can take to become these role models for the younger generation, females in particular, but also the males, you know, that we as women can do these things.
You know, so of course, most recently, February 23rd, you captained the first ever all-female flight deck crew, okay, from Brunei to Jeddah in Saudi Arabia. And although it was a milestone for the airline, the pilot, you know, when you arrived, it was a country where women are still not allowed to drive a car. I suppose it's quite surreal. I mean, upon arriving in Jeddah, were you then accompanied as you were leaving the airport?
Accompanied in what sense?
You know how you always with a gentleman? I mean, with...
Oh, I see. Right. Okay, well, to be honest, it was just a normal operating flight to Jeddah. Mm-hmm. It just so happened that it was three females. We've done it many, many times before, but, you know, all three of us have probably done it with a male colleague, you know. So this just so happened to be the first time that it was all female. So it wasn't any different to any other time we fly to Jeddah. Obviously, when we arrived, they were surprised to see all female, but it was all very positive. Mm. You know, there was no negative remarks or, you know, there was, as you say, accompanied in that sense. Mm. There was none of that, you know. The normal operating flight where we arrive, we go through the normal channels and there is a crew bus waiting on our arrival to take us to the hotel. So there was nothing really different about that flight apart from the fact that there were no men.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess the whole idea as well for someone to want to be a pilot, what are the skills and aptitude to be a pilot?
Well, honestly, maybe, you know, they are born flyers, but I definitely wasn't one of them. Although I do believe, after taking my first couple of flights, I do believe I was born to fly. That was when the passion really started building up, you know. So in terms of skills and aptitudes, I personally believe anyone can be trained to be a pilot. You just have to want it. You just have to have the passion for it. You know, you have to work hard. You have to never give up. But in terms of perhaps skills, if you want to talk about skills, definitely hand-eye coordination is very important, and that can be trained.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. But you have to have, like, situational awareness is very important to becoming a commercial pilot. You have to be aware of everything around you because it's not a matter of getting in the seat, taking off, doing the flight and landing. There's so much more that goes with it.
Right.
Cooperation, you know, that's a big thing because as a commercial pilot, you work with other people. You have to have these communication skills so you're able to communicate with your co-pilot or your captain and the crew members, you know, because at the end of the day, you're all working as a team. So being able to work in a team is really important.
Right.
Also, another really important thing is decision making. You know, you have to be able to make these quick decisions when you need to. There are most times, you know, you have time to think about it and make the correct decision. But at the same time, you will come across moments where you just need to make quick decisions.
Right. So this quick decisions, decision-making, situational awareness, what has been the most challenging flying experience for you in your years of flying?
Every day is a challenge. Mm. The whole flying experience is a challenge. You know, you have good days, and those are great. When everything goes smoothly, the weather is perfect for you, you know, passengers come on time and everything goes your way, basically. Now, those days, they're fantastic. But most other days, there's so many little things which could make it more challenging, you know. I think, personally for me, bad weather is really, really challenging. And, you know, being in the Southeast Asian region, in our region, equatorial, you have all the heavy rain and thunderstorms. So even, you know, you have, when taking off in bad weather, that's already quite challenging. And then even in flight, you know, avoiding all these big thunderstorm clouds. So every day is different and every day is a challenge. But if you want one specific one that I can remember, it was a flight I did from Dubai to Brunei. And because we plan prior to departing. So, you know, we always have a look at the weather so you can decide on how much fuel you want to take and, you know, whether or not you need extra fuel if the weather is bad, like where you're arriving. So, honestly, the weather in Brunei was absolutely fine. Mm. This was prior to our departure. But I think it was 3 hours before we landed where we checked the weather and it was heavy rain. Mm. Luckily for us, it wasn't thunderstorm. It was just very, very heavy rain. So the visibility, meaning what we can see outside the airplane, was very, let's say, if I remember correctly, it was about 1,000 meters. So that's only 1 kilometer, which we can see visually, you know. And it was decreasing. Mm. That value was decreasing. So we were getting a bit worried because we have a minimum visibility or minimum requirement which we need in order to land legally. Mm. Okay, so it was just decreasing and decreasing. And there was an AirAsia flight, I remember, before us. And they decided, oh, you know, they're not even going to attempt to land because the weather was really bad. It was really raining very heavily. And so we decided, okay, we'll just take up the hold. So we decided, we had the fuel for it. So we were about to enter the hold. But AirAsia decided, oh, okay, they were probably informed that, okay, the visibility is getting better. So they decided to land. And I remember thinking, okay, AirAsia's, they're good to go because they've been informed that the visibility has improved. So we're going to attempt to land. So as we did, you know, AirAsia landed no problem, safely. The visibility started deteriorating again. And I remember talking to the first officer and saying, okay, you know, because we are committed to landing in Brunei, we'll just have a go. If we can't see the runway, then we have to divert to KK. We didn't, to Kinabalu, we didn't have enough fuel to try again, basically. Right. And so we did, we were on the approach, and we have a limit, a height above the ground where we have to make this decision, can we see the runway or can we not? I think it must have been about 50 or 100 feet above that decision point that we finally saw the runway. But I remember just going down the approach, you know, to landing and thinking, oh my God, you know, I really hope I can see the runway. I really hope I can see the runway. I don't want to go to Kota Kinabalu. It's been 8 hours. I want to go home. You know, all these passengers want to go home. But Frida, to be honest, I've been very, very blessed and very fortunate because I haven't had that very many bad days, you know, so, and I'm hoping, you know, it kind of stays that way. But I just remember that day because we didn't expect it at all, you know, and the weather can change just like that.
Well, you know, what other, you know, records and achievements do you expect to see? I mean, RBA has been around for over 40 years. You know, where do you see your future with Royal Brunei?
Well, at the moment, I love flying and I hope to be flying, you know, for many more years to come. Mm. I would like to progress into training, you know, because I would love to sort of share my experiences, impart knowledge, not just on, you know, young cadet who start to fly commercially with Royal Brunei, but with everyone, you know. And that's something that I'm very, very keen on, training. When you speak about sort of achievements and records and things like that, if we have anything planned, the answer is no. You know, we don't plan these achievements and they happen and we are very proud of them as an airline.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time. As you know, it is a pleasure and honor speaking to you.
No, the pleasure is all mine, Frida.
I've been speaking to Captain Sharifah Zarina Suryani Said Hashim from Royal Brunei Airlines. This is Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.